But that's great. Well, I hope you're all getting ready for Christmas. It's coming pretty quick, isn't it? But so good to see all your smiling faces this morning too. It's awesome. Everyone, I can see a couple of nervous faces there about Christmas when I said that. But yeah, it'll be all right. But but good morning. So good to be here on this last sort of Sunday before Christmas. For those who have been around here for the last few weeks, we've been slowly going through the themes of Advent over the last few weeks of hope, peace, joy, and today we're going to look at love. Now, when we hear the word love, we get a lot of different things that come into our mind. Sometimes it can be your car, how much you love your car. Maybe it can be food. I love food. Food is amazing. We can have love for food. We can have a love for steak especially. Maybe a television show you might love. It could be a song you might love, but sometimes you hear the word love and you think of family, you think of friends, maybe your boyfriend, your girlfriend. We have all these different things that we recognise when it comes to love. We also hear love stories. I don't know if you've watched some of those movies like The Notebook or maybe The Proposal or my personal favourite, Captain America, Winter Soldier. Love stories, great romance story. There's so many great love stories out there. When we've all watched them before, like usually the guy is chasing after the girl's chasing after the guy, then they finally get together, then something usually horrible happens and one of them stuffs up, or and then there's forgiveness, and they get back together again, and then all of a sudden there's happily ever after. We have all seen those movies, we've all sort of understand how that works. Well, today we're going to talk about the greatest love story ever told, and we see it here in the Gospel of John. So if you'd like to just pray with me before we get into this message, that'd be awesome. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we can be together, Lord. We just thank you that, yeah, over the last few weeks we've been able to think about peace, we've been able to think about hope and that beautiful joy of you, Lord. But we do pray today as we look at love, Lord, that, we'll understand this love story that you have for us, Lord. It's so, so powerful and so, so beautiful. We do pray that, as this message comes today, Lord, that you'll speak through me, Lord. Open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, to understand your words, Lord, and be with us today. We pray for this in your name. Amen. So I think John is actually one of my favorite gospels. I love the themes in John. There's this beautiful sort of love story that goes all through it with Jesus. But it's quite different. It's quite a unique gospel when it comes to the other gospels like Matthew, Mark and Luke, known as the synoptics. So what I find really cool about John, though, is the Christmas story. A lot of you are probably looking at me like, the Christmas story isn't really in John because there's no Mary and Joseph, there's no manger, there's no the wise men, there's no shepherds. Like, what are you talking about, Luke? There's no Christmas story in John. But really, John gives a different type of perspective of the Christmas story. He gives sort of God's perspective, I think. John gives us a completely different perspective of what happened on that beautiful night 2,000 years ago. He focuses on the real meaning of Christmas. Not the story, the characters involved, but the love of God and the gift to humanity through Jesus, God's Son. So we're going to look at three things in John 1:1-14 today. So if you have your Bibles open, if you'd like to turn to chapter 1, and we'll slowly make our way through this beautiful opening of this gospel. So from verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So in these first few verses, we see three things. Jesus as the Word, Jesus as the life, and Jesus as the light. Today we're just going to focus on one of those titles, and that's Jesus as the light. So when we think of light, our sort of understanding of light is light comes from the sun, electricity. We've got lights in here that are producing light. We have a fire, maybe, that produces light. So there's lots of different ways that we sort of see or think about light. We also have it in our houses, our cars, even some push bikes have lights. When we need light, we just flick a switch and boom, there's light. It's awesome. I remember actually an article a few years ago as well, and it sort of talks about how light, darkness is actually the absence of light. So darkness, you can't actually measure darkness. you can only measure light. Light is actually determined by brightness. So it's actually called, the way of measuring light is called luminous flux, which is a bit of a mouthful. But when you, it's the way you measure lumens, and it's the, which determines the brightness. The higher the lumen, the brighter it is. So you can't actually measure darkness, and darkness is the absence of light. So we live in a world that's just full of darkness. Everywhere you look, there's hopelessness and darkness around. Just the last few, this year, we've had earthquakes. We've had hail the size of, tennis balls that was in Sydney the other day. We live in a broken world where these things are happening. We also have sickness all around the world. We have our friends that are sick and suffering. We have broken families. We hear murders when we turn the news on. We live in a very broken world, a very hopeless world. We see darkness as soon as we wake up in the morning. If we read in John chapter 12, verse 35 to 36, it says that Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." So John here in chapter 12 is talking about us living in this dark world and how we can get caught up in the world and it can actually overtake us. So it's important for us to remember the light, to have that sort of a hope that sort of is there in the darkness, and Jesus is that. John also speaks about the light and the importance of following the light so we don't get lost in that darkness. The dictionary for light, I don't know if you've ever looked it up before, but it's actually the natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. So when light shines, darkness flees. John in chapter 1 tells us that the Christmas story is a light shining in that darkness. There is now light in the world. John tells us that the light shines into that darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. Through the birth of Jesus, God shined light into our world. So what does Jesus as the light mean to us? It means that Jesus helps us stay focused and helps us stay out of that darkness. But it also means hope. Hope to the brokenness, hope to fear, hope to life's challenges. It also means that when we follow in the light, we can follow Jesus and we have hope in that. When John teaches us the Christmas story, he shines light of hope to the brokenness, to the fear and death. Jesus is the light of this new, the light of new hope in this dark world. And through that hope, God continues to show us his love for his creation. So how do we apply this to our life? We need to live a life that shines light into that darkness. When we see people struggling with sickness, we need to be a blessing to them. We need to love them. We need to pray for them. When people are affected by wild weather, like just in Sydney the other day, we need to be a blessing to them. We need to be praying for them. We need to love them. When families are fighting, we need to show compassion and love to them as well. This Christmas, let's be that light that shows God love to our community. Amen. The second point we're going to look at is that we are children of God. So if you read from verse 9 with me, "The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but God, born of God." John now teaches us that Jesus offers us the right to be called children of God. So how do we become a child? A few of you are probably looking at me, where am I going with that? But to become a child, we need to have parents, right? Do we get to choose our parents, though? No, we don't. Not usually, yeah. But our parents can choose to have children. Sometimes it comes out of an accident and different things. But we can have, we usually choose to have a child. Yeah, surprise. Sometimes there's a surprise. So it takes parents' initiative, though, to have children, though. Just like God has taken initiative to make us children of God. So what makes us children of God? We see that here in verse 11 to 13. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all that who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. So there's two people that are talked about here. One that is, unfortunately, isn't a child of God, and the others that are. So the first people we see in verse 11 is actually really sad because it's talking about his own people. So Jesus came down and his own people, the Jews, did not receive him. We read in verse 11 that here we have a group of people that knew the scriptures, knew them at the back of their hand. They could pull scripture out of everywhere. But when the Messiah turned up, when Jesus turned up, when the light of the world came, they rejected him. Now, I'm not saying not all Jews rejected Jesus. There's a lot of Jews in the Bible that were Christians, and there's a lot of Jewish Christians today that have received Jesus and love Jesus. When we get to verse 12, though, we see that all who receive Jesus and believe in his name become children of God. So to become a child of God, we need to receive Jesus and believe in his name. John says that Jesus offers us the right to be called children of God. For those who don't have a father, or those that are lost in the darkness in the world we live in, God is the solution. He freely offers himself as the loving father, sending his son down into the darkness to be the light and help us, guide us back to him. Not all of us have the greatest parents, but some of us have been very blessed with awesome parents who love us and help us through thick and thin. Some of us here are parents and know what it is to love their child and always want the best thing for them. Well, we have a Father in heaven who loves us and has given us the option to be his children. When we believe in Jesus and receive him into our lives, I get this beautiful picture of sort of like that prodigal son story of when the son sort of run into the darkness and all of a sudden he comes home and there's that beautiful joy on that father's face and he's running down the road and he gives him that beautiful hug. And I just get that picture of God with us when we come back out of the darkness and you have that beautiful love and joy in the Father. It's beautiful. Jesus offers us adoption into his family of believers. As a child of God, we have a loving Father in heaven, eagerly waiting for us to come out of the darkness and seek him. If you haven't made that commitment today, have a talk to one of the pastoral team or the leaders in this church or maybe a friend that you're here with today and, tell them that you want to hear more about this amazing love God has for us. The third thing we sort of see in this is God is with us. If we look from verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So there's people around today that sort of say that Jesus was fully human, but he kind of was just like a little bit divine. He wasn't quite there, but so he was a little bit of God, but he was fully human. And there's other people that sort of say it the opposite way. They say he was fully divine, but he wasn't really human. He was like a God sort of thing, and yeah, he wasn't really there. But here we see that what John says, that Jesus was fully human and fully divine. But we have the answer here. So verse 14, the Word became flesh. Jesus was a real functioning person. He had blood going through his veins. He could feel pain. When we have that image of the cross, which we see later on in the Gospels, when Jesus was on the cross there, he got stabbed in the side and blood and water came out. So Jesus was a real human. But also we see in verse 18 that he was the Son of God. The Son of God was God himself. At the start of this chapter, we also see that Jesus was present at creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So we see that Jesus was with God at the, in the beginning and helped when it came to creating all things. He was 100% God and 100% human. So Jesus came down to the earth to be an example and bring people back to the light, to allow us to become children of God, to have a relationship with him. God wasn't going to just sit in heaven and flick his fingers and then everything was going to be okay. He's not that type of God. Jesus came down from heaven to be with us, to walk among us, and in the end, take our sins on the cross 2,000 years ago and be our Savior. Now, that's a God who loves his creation, amen? Not a God who distances himself and does whatever he wants without being with his people, but a God who wants a relationship with his creation, who loves his creation. We have a loving God who works salvation for us by being with us. Let me tell you, there's no greater love than this. So what should we be doing this Christmas? We should be sharing the real meaning of Christmas to others, telling others of why Jesus came down from heaven to be with his people. We should be sharing the real meaning of Christmas to others, telling others of why Jesus came down from heaven. That God wasn't just a God who was going to sit up there and just get it done by himself, that actually wanted to be with us and among us. Let's share the good news of Jesus and the love he has for us. Sorry, I forgot to turn this on for the slide thing. If I flick it, there we go. So I came along this in my Facebook feed the other day, and I thought it actually gives a really good perspective of Christmas. So instead of buy presents, be present. Instead of, yeah, definitely wrap gifts still to people and be a blessing there, but also wrap people with someone with a hug. Send gifts, but also send love to people. Donate food. Be a blessing to others. Make cookies, but also make memories with your family and friends. See lights. I love looking at Christmas lights, but be that light to those that are lost in that darkness. Christmas shows us that God loves his creation. He offers us hope, he offers us adoption into the family, and walks with us to save us. Only a loving God would work that way. Christmas is a time of celebration, a time of memories, and a time of stories. Each of you get to Christmas Day and enjoy time with family and friends. Let's remember the greatest love story, the love story between God and his creation, a God who would and did do anything to save his people. So go out into that darkness and be that light. Show the love of Jesus to your friends and your family. Have an amazing Christmas. Let me just pray for us quickly. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that, that beautiful love story, Lord, of you coming to earth, Lord, and just being with us, being with your people. Instead of being a God who sort of stands up in the sky and looks down at us and just says, all right, that's not right, let's just get that done, let's get that done, let's get that done. But you actually came down and you loved us. You were with us. You lived as one of us, Lord. And you became our Savior. You were our Savior on that cross, taking our sin and raising again. We just pray that over this Christmas time that we remember that beautiful story of you coming down. We do pray that, as we see family, we see friends, that, we enjoy that amazing time of catching up, giving gifts and being a blessing to each other. But, Lord, we just pray that we also remember the good news of that day when you came down to earth, that beautiful day. We just remember the shepherds, we remember the wise men, we remember all these people who were a part of that amazing day that were just rejoicing that the King has come. We just pray that, over these couple of days, we just do remember that, Lord. Help us be that light in this dark world and also lead people back. We pray for this in your name. Amen.